And Jesus said, because you did not do it unto the least of these members of my family, you didn't do it for me either. Go ahead and be seated and be very uncomfortable. If you're not now, I'm fixing to make you there. Well, hello, Dolly. Yeah, we're all up here today, aren't we? Come on. Come on, Grandpa will get you. Come on. Yeah. Daddy, yeah, you go find Daddy. That's it. All right. It works. Okay. Today is the last day, the last Sunday, in this very long season of Pentecost. I mean, we've been doing this thing for a very long time, ever since the season of Easter basically came to an end. We've been celebrating the Sundays after Pentecost. And here we are, we're at the finish line. Finally, right? I don't know that you're going to be happy to reach that finish line necessarily, because these words in our gospel lesson today, they make me very uncomfortable. And I sure hope they're making you the same, because that means you're thinking and you're evaluating your life and the things that you do and say. Well, this is the feast of Christ the King, but where's the King? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Where's the King? Now, our evangelical, our more evangelical sisters and brothers, because we're evangelical, aren't we, brother? Yeah, we bet we are. We're evangelicals. All right. Our more evangelical brothers and sisters say that he resides supremely and only, basically, in our hearts. Just like that hymn says, you know, in my heart, you know. I'm not going to try and sing that. Aren't you glad? Yes, my son agrees. Amen. Some of us, we wear crosses around our necks, or we have an icon displayed in our offices or our homes or wherever, and we believe that God is truly present in those representations. And that's where he's resident. And still others, and all of us as good Episcopalians, as good Catholics, we say that in a little bit, Father is going to convict a sacrament here, and Jesus is to be found in bread and wine, his body and his blood. And we say he's in the sacraments. Jesus is in the sacraments. And we say that's good enough for us. Still others, they'll open a book, not this one, this is the prayer book and hymnal, but they'll open it up, that book, and they'll say between Genesis and Revelation, this is where Jesus is in the Bible. That's where he is to be found, almost exclusively. But I'm going to tell you the truth, as much as I believe that he can be present in each and every one of those, I am personally very uncomfortable in thinking for a moment that that's the only place that he is. Or worse still, like so many other people who say they are Christian, they believe that he's sitting in a room like this, in a building like much like this in grandeur. And he's sitting there, I don't know, doing a rosary or something, you know, Monday, or as soon as the last Mass is said on Sunday, and he's sitting there all the rest of the week until the following Sunday, waiting for the doors to be open and people to come in and identify with him. There are people, I think, really believe that he's only found in the church. I think in part because that way he won't bother them with all the things that they are doing. All of these things, they hold the possibility of Jesus' presence. But I will tell you, as someone who completed a portion of his move here to this community this week, residence, holding occupancy somewhere, is awfully important. And Jesus' primary residence is not in those places. Where is that primary residence? Here, listen to some words from the gospel. May that help us understand it. I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was sick, you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Where's Jesus? In every bit of that. That's where he is. He's out on the streets where people are living. He is much like the lady I saw one day as I went to the Salvation Army with a load of coats up in St. Louis. And she had been sitting there most of the day waiting for someone to bring a coat that she could have because it was bitter cold, sub-zero. He is in the soup kitchens, in the food distributions like what we do on the second and fourth Saturdays. Deacon Phil, when he goes to the maximum security prisons in Texas, has Jesus with him as he goes and ministers to the brothers in white. There's where Jesus is at. He's not sitting around in some barn of a building waiting for somebody to show up to pay attention to him. He's not to be found in these other objects I've spoken of exclusively. He said it well. There's no way to misread this gospel. He says, most certainly I tell you, as much as you did it to one of the least of these of my family, you did it for me. Jesus is to be found wherever people are found who are in need. They're in need of the church, not this building, but of the people that make up this church family. As we go out into our communities and we see the men and women and children who are in desperate need, or sometimes nothing more than a gentle word or a kind touch. I was reminded during first service as I was preaching about some experiences I had this week with this. I was over to the Walmart like many of you possibly were. And I went in through the one doorway that few people were going in. And here sits this lady who's kind of watching stuff. And I stood back and she was being hassled by a coworker. And then when he finally had enough of his nonsense and went away, I walked up to her and asked her if I could hug her, and I did. And we had conversation. And we shared our witness. And we talked about Jesus' love. And all week long, and I made many trips to this Walmart, believe me, getting curtains and different things, I made a point of making sure I smiled at and attempted to talk to those people, as I do in the waitresses and all the other people in the service industries, because sometimes they haven't heard a good word all day long. And sometimes that's Jesus. It's always Jesus. It doesn't require a dime out of our pocket. It requires us to open our minds and our hearts to minister to someone else. Now, don't mistake me for one moment. Jesus is very much here right now. And he's going to be here in a very special way in the sacrament of his body and his blood. In the sacrament of the Eucharist. Make no mistake about it. He's present. He was present between our services today in this wonderful thing Miss Morgan organized in the Advent Wreath Project. He was present as we sat around tables enjoying our little tidbits and we talked with each other and talked about the mysteries of our faith. He was present in our homes, and in the front doors and everywhere where we used a kind word that said we care about them. Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there he is. You see, Jesus Christ is not sitting waiting for some magical church service to take place. Jesus is waiting, if anything, for all of us to do what he said, to minister, to care, to love, as he exhibited for us, unto the least of these, our brethren. Now make no mistake about it. Everything that we do, everything, from the cleanup that was being done yesterday, to the food distributions we were doing yesterday, to all the other ministries and outreach programs and parts that this congregation does, they are important. Stewardship, attendance, all of these things matter. But don't get mad at me about this. It's not me saying it, it's what Jesus said. What really matters is the way in which we reach beyond our comfort zones, the way that we take our blinders off and begin to allow ourselves to see the men and women, the children that are around us who have no clue about Jesus Christ. And we all wear blinders. Some of us, they're like this. Others, they're out like this. But we all have blinders on. Each and every one of us do. And the way we remove them eventually, and that allows us to reach out to the least of these, Jesus says, is what matters. That's what matters. And so on this Christ the King Sunday, I give thanks that Jesus Christ came, forgave me my sins, and accepts me as a child of God, but has then commissioned me, not by ordination, but by my baptism, to now carry out that same ministry into this world and to those who are in desperate need of Christ. And I give thanks for that Christ still needs and wants us, each and every one of us, to go where he wants us to go, to interact with the people he wants us to interact with, whether it's the hungry, the people who are living in utter poverty, or the people in the streets, or the young people who have never heard of Jesus Christ because their parents never told them, the people who are incarcerated, someone who just needs someone to hold their hand. This is what Jesus is talking about. This is what our gospel is all about on this Sunday, Christ the King. And make no mistake about it, I don't believe for one moment that any one of us is called to become exactly like this dear Albanian sainted lady, Mother Teresa, and go to the streets of Calcutta. But I am absolutely convicted that there's not a man, woman, or child that is not being called into the streets of Brandon and Valrico and all of the other cities and towns around us in Plant City and so forth. I am convicted. As Jesus said, the day is coming when we all will be standing before the judgment, the white throne of judgment. And we will understand in that moment whether we are sheep or we are goats. And judgment will take place. Contrary to what the world says, we all ain't getting to heaven. Folks, Jesus' words are clear. The judgment time is coming. And the determination will be made on how well we loved and ministered to Jesus to the least of these, my brethren. To God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion, now and forevermore. Amen.